This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's welcome Michelle McQuigg into the show for a weekend news recap. Michelle is the weekend news editor at the Canadian Press. Hey, good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm well. So, Michelle, let's bring you in here for a bit of a COVID-19 update. And let's start.
Yeah, we're back here again, friends.
We're back here for sure. So, Michelle, let's go back to last Friday as politicians really started to grapple with the Omicron variant. What decisions were made in regard to travel restrictions?
Yeah, well, that has become sort of the interesting thing to watch. So the Omicron, it all happened really quickly. Word about the Omicron variant didn't really start to circulate until Friday morning. Very quickly thereafter, Premier Doug Ford of Ontario, among others, started calling for travel restrictions. And by the end of the day, the federal government had complied. They had closed travel to seven countries in Southern Africa, including South Africa itself, but also, you know, Namibia, Zambia, a couple of other places like that. And it was hoped that that might put a stop to things, but that was not the case. Over the course of the weekend, it was very clear this had already spread globally quite a bit. Countries like the UK, Germany, Italy, Israel, Australia all started recording cases. Portugal is now in. And as of yesterday, so is Canada. It has already surfaced here.
Right. Whereabouts in Canada did it surface?
It turned up in Ontario, in the Ottawa area. We don't know a whole lot about that. We know the people that did contract the Omicron variant had recently been in Nigeria, which it's worth noting was not among the countries where there was a travel ban imposed on Friday. But they've got it. They've tested positive. They're self-isolating. We don't know anything about their condition, but all we know is that this has now got people watching on a whole other level. So, because this variant is supposed to be quite a lot more infectious. An interesting anecdote I saw this morning from Portugal. There's a sports team out there where about 13 players are now testing positive with Omicron, and only one of them had been in the Southern African region.
So, Michelle, let's talk a little bit about what public health experts are saying, because as you say, this happened and developed pretty quickly, and it seems like folks are on high alert. What are public health experts saying about the new variant?
Well, there's a lot we still don't know. There's a few angles we could go at with this, but in terms of what we do know, we are under the impression that it's got lots of mutations, and we are under the impression that it is quite infectious, more so than some of the other variants that we've seen. There has been an exponential rise in cases in South Africa specifically. That was kind of what sounded the alarm on this, and South Africa was in fact the country that did the research, shared the information with the world, and kind of set the alerts off here. Mm-hmm. We don't know, though, to what degree it's affected by vaccines. It's too new for that. There's a lot of sequencing that needs to be done, and that work is already underway, and it has definitely taken on a bit of a priority status because of the infection rate. But there are far, far more questions than answers still about this variant.
Yeah, it does seem like there's a lot of unknown here, and that's one of the reasons why I did want to talk about this with you this morning in a really kind of reasonable, measured fashion, because mm-hmm. I think sometimes the alarm bells are ringing kind of quickly here when we're still dealing with unknowns. And by the way, I think we've learned over the course of COVID that precaution typically is the best approach when we're dealing with something we don't know. But again, we are dealing with unknowns. Like even, for example, the CEO of Moderna in an interview over the weekend said, hey, we don't know if our vaccine works against this. And if it doesn't, we can have something out by the new year, early on in the new year. So it's one of these situations where it's worth taking the breath. It's worth reflecting. It's worth being cautious. But I do think that maybe like the zeal got turned up to 1,000 pretty quickly on this.
It definitely did. And it's what's become pretty clear, too, is that the knee-jerk reaction of border restrictions is not necessarily the answer. Clearly, that horse had already left the barn quite a while ago. And now, of course, there's other questions being raised about this. South Africa has expressed some displeasure, and the WHO has backed them up and said, look, South Africa is taking a lot of heat right now for this variant, the way people tended to call it, you know, the Chinese virus or the Indian variant or those kinds of very loaded, really not appropriate terms. And the WHO in South Africa are saying, look, this country shared their research with the world, so now we can start taking some action and getting some answers. So let's ease off a little bit on the knee-jerk reactions and the vilifying of certain countries where this is not really a factor. So it also raises questions about vaccine equity in poorer countries. That's a whole other topic. But South Africa has only about a quarter of its population vaccinated, and they are an outlier within the continent where the vaccination rate is more like 10%. Mm-hmm. Here in Canada, we're pushing the 90% mark. So contexts are also crucial for a lot of this. But the fact is that cases are rising in a lot of places. We don't know if Omicron is behind that, but certainly it now is another factor in the mix. And that mix is getting complicated again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did see a lot of case numbers in Europe beginning to jump early last week, moving up. So let's zoom out a little bit here and talk about the Canadian context. What are the overall case numbers looking like in Canada?
Not great. Ontario is almost back at 1,000 cases a day. We had 964 yesterday in this province, and that was the highest case seen in about 6 months. Quebec has been registering 1,000-plus cases a day for a few days in a row now. They got over 1,100 on the weekend and then back down again yesterday. Prince Edward Island has a new cluster after many weeks of inactivity. They had 5 yesterday. New Brunswick continues to have a pretty active COVID situation. Alberta, of course, is always one to watch. So overall, the numbers are not heading in as positive a direction as they were some months back. Now, the variable here is that the vaccine rate is much higher. So we don't know yet about how this is going to affect hospital capacities and whatnot. But the rising numbers are raising questions about whether or not some restrictions and public health orders are going to come back in.
Michelle, you mentioned the vaccine numbers, and that's where I kind of put here. It's not all bad news. It's not all doom and gloom. I know at least anecdotally, a few parents in my life were delighted to get their kids their first shot of vaccine this weekend. What do we know about the vaccine rollout for kids so far?
So far, it seems to be going pretty well. I don't happen to have concrete numbers in terms of percentages. They're starting to trickle in, but it's a bit difficult to sort it out from the eligible population now has expanded, right? So that all the numbers are slightly skewed, and I don't think we have a whole lot of data on the specific 5 to 11 age bracket
yet. That's right.
But it'll come, and certainly we've seen lots of examples of busy clinics and, you know, therapy dogs coming into some clinics to help with easing kids' nerves, and lots of provinces and cities have enacted rollouts involving, you know, schools and communities, hubs and whatnot. So there does seem to be fairly active encouragement of it, and the uptake seems pretty good from what I can see, but we'll have to wait a bit more to find out specifics.
I loved the story this weekend that came out about therapy dogs being used at clinics to keep kids
calm.
Oh,
you read Mari Wolf, my colleague Mari Wolf in Ottawa. Yeah, that was her.
Yeah, really, really enjoyed that one. Now, I know obviously anytime we're talking about any kind of animal, therapy animal, you know, we have to be honest about kind of creating these separations between service dogs and therapy dogs. Either way, I wish there'd been a therapy dog when I got my shot. I'm not even afraid of needles, and I would have liked that.
I can only tell you that I had my Lucy with me, of course, when I got my shot, and she was pretty popular in and around me. She got the harness off, so people might have gotten a bit of a free bonus therapy dog session with my Lou.
Bonus therapy dog when Michelle McQuigg's rolling around. Hey, Michelle, just before we let you go, one of the other big stories that came out at the front end of the weekend was the recall of Old Spice and Secret spray aerosol deodorants for the period of 2019 up until recent. And I shared the story.
I know that hits you where you live, Dave. I'm sorry.
Hit me right in the armpit, Michelle. Hit me right in the armpit. So I want to ask you I want to ask you our daily poll at AMI Audio on Twitter, Accessible Media Inc. on Facebook. If a daily cosmetic product that you've been using for years gets recalled, what do you do? Throw it away, use it until it's replaced, just keep using it, or demand a refund? What say you, Michelle?
Oh man, I'm a brand loyalist. I have worn the same perfume for like a decade now. I've been using the same deodorant for at least as long. I would definitely finish what I have and research alternatives that I would find close enough to what I'm giving up. real adventurous and flexible over here.
Yeah, I will encourage any listener of the program, because I did hear from a few friends on social media saying, well, this is what you get for using super corporate mega conglomerate deodorant. I will encourage any listener of the program to tell me about their spray deodorant of choice, and they can reach out to the show, feedback at AMI.ca or 1-866-509-4545, and time, maybe we can do an ongoing series about Dave Brown's armpits. Michelle, in the meantime, we wish you a wonderful...
The content Canada deserves, if not needs.
Oh, I think going into the holiday season, we can get some good deodorant consumerism stuff going on. Michelle, we'll talk to you on Friday.
Sounds great, Dave. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.